25. No baseball? Mike shook his head. Not even scraps. She even did another set of x-rays to double-check for me. It's vanished into thin air. 3,000 miles away, Reggie leaned back in his chair. Or it got picked up by an EMT who wanted a free baseball for his kid. That I would have seen. Is it really that important? I think it is. Mike crossed his arms and tapped his palm against his elbow. His clothes were torn up too. What? I saw his personal effects. Flipped them over, saw them from every angle.
That's good, yes?
Yeah. They were frayed and crumbled in a couple of places. There were three distinct tears on his pants, two on his shirt.
Okay, and?
The fraying and crumbling could be written off as a result of the crosswalk. I'm not sure how, because I still don't know enough about the door, but it's not hard to imagine a powerful electromagnetic field having a general degenerative effect on materials. That's something else to run past your experts. The ants carried out images of the clothes spread out on the chrome table and lined them up in his mind. Tearing's a physical action, though. Like the wound, it's inflicted damage.
The machine gave him cancer and you're focused on his pants.
He didn't catch his pants on something stepping through the rings and tear one of the cuffs half off. But the cuff is torn, and he got shot or stabbed with something. Mike flipped the clothes in his mind and examined the burst stitching and the broken weave of the fabric. They were dusty, too. In one step, he accumulated about 4 ounces of dust spread all through his clothes.
I saw a mattress commercial once that said most dust was human skin cells, said Reggie. Might explain his condition if a quarter pound of skin went poof when he stepped through the rings.
Mike closed his eyes and tried to recapture the sensation of rubbing the fabric between his fingers. His memory was strongest with sights and sounds. His other senses were still recorded, but they weren't any sharper in memory than they were in real life. The dust was gritty, he said. More like sand than, well, dust. Plus, there was the blood.
What about it?
There was blood soaked into his clothes. It was down his side and all over his left arm where he was trying to block it.
You said he had a good-sized hole in him.
Yeah, said Mike. But his clothes were already soaked as soon as he stepped through the door. Almost 2 pints. And if he lost a quart of blood that fast, he should have been dead in seconds. That's losing a limb bleeding.
Maybe it wasn't his blood.
Mike shook his head. She tested it there. The blood type's right. He opened his eyes and paced in the trailer. Everything about Bob's body says that he gained at least a year's worth of experiences in less than a second. But the medical examiner's pretty sure he isn't any older than he should be. Reggie shifted his jaw.
Time dilation? The door lets people cross big distances very fast. Physics says that should be a time shift, right?
A few more ants spilled over the walls in Mike's mind.
Not exactly, he said. Again, not my field, but I'm pretty sure time dilation depends on speed. If Arthur's telling the truth, the Albuquerque door covers distance by bending space, not rushing through it. Bob was moving 1.5 miles per hour, tops.
Oh.
Even if he wasn't, moving faster would have meant time passed slower for him, not faster. A minute for us would have been a second for him.
And it didn't even take a second to get through the door.
Not even.
So he's the right age for that.
It's not time dilation. I know that much.
Are you sure?
Mike uncrossed his arms.
I'm not really sure of anything out here.
You're still sure no one caused it, though?
Sabotage?
Mike shook his head.
No real motive.
It got rid of Bob.
It got rid of Bob and shut the whole project down. Nobody here wants that.
You sure?
Mike paused.
Pretty sure, he said.
Reggie shifted in his chair.
Have Arthur's people found anything?
No, they've taken the whole system apart and put it back together again. They can't find anything that explains Bob's injuries. Not even a loose wire.
Could it be something they're hiding?
I think they're hiding a lot of things.
About the accident?
About the door itself. They're just...
Ants streamed through his brain and piled into 2 or 3 minor skirmishes.
I think we might be coming at this the wrong way.
Reggie started to speak, but Mike waved him quiet.
Your people haven't been able to find anything because they're starting under the assumption Arthur and his team have what they want, the answer to a specific question. More and more ants had joined the battle. They struck at one another with images and sounds and ideas, the inside of his skull blurred with images. It's not making any sense because we keep putting all the random snippets and clues in the same pile when there should be two or three. They're not hiding one thing, they're hiding a couple of things. There's stuff they know that they don't want to share quite yet. But I think maybe there's things they don't know either. And they're trying to keep that ignorance hidden too, which means there's probably still facts about the door none of us even realize we're looking at.
What they know, said Reggie. What they don't know, and what they don't know that they don't know.
Yes, exactly, he said. The door works, but I don't think it works the way they're telling everyone it does. But however they got it working, it does work, and they're going to change the world and get a ton of recognition for it. So what are they worried about?
Reggie cleared his throat.
It might all be moot, he said. I've been talking with some people. The board's leaning toward denying the new budget.
Mike shook the ants away.
I thought they were waiting for my report.
Your report.
His friend shrugged on the screen.
With Bob Hitchcock and Ben Miles, I think we're looking at a 2% failure rate, yes?
Close enough.
That's equal to 3 or 4 jumbo jets dropping out of the sky every day. How popular do you think air travel would be with that kind of survival rate?
You're giving up?
I'm not doing anything except waiting for a full report from my man in the field. Show me it's safe, that this was just a fluke, and it's not going to give anyone else cancer, and I'll make sure Arthur keeps getting checks.
Reggie's eyes darted to the left.
I'll talk to you later.
He reached forward, and the tablet blinked back to its default screen. Mike stared at it for a moment. Then he watched Bob die for the 234th time. The ants had a swarm of images and theories for him. None of them fit together well. He headed back up to the main building. Anne smiled at him from the desk as he walked past her. He swiped his key card and walked out onto the main floor. Olaf and Neil were there, each sitting at their stations. Olaf had a simulation running on his screen. They glanced up as Mike walked across the floor to them.
How goes it?
Neil looked at Olaf.
Fine, said Bogart's twin. Is there something we can do for you?
Mike stepped over the cables.
I was just wondering where Arthur is.
Neil opened his mouth, but Olaf cut him off.
He was up in the booth about 15 minutes ago. He might be in his office now.
Neil turned back to his screen. He made a point of looking nowhere else. Mike studied the two men.
Anything new on the incident?
No,
said Olaf.
Did I do something wrong?
No,
he said.
We're just busy. We're in the middle of a simulation.
Of the incident?
Of something related to it, yes.
What?
Olaf straightened up and turned from his station.
Weren't you looking for Arthur?
Sorry, not a problem.
Someone coughed over the speakers and Mike glanced up at the booth.
If you need any help, he said, just let me know.
Of course, said Olaf.
Mike wandered back out into the hall and up the stairwell. He swiped his card again and unlocked the control room door.
Hey, he said.
I was... Sasha looked over her shoulder at him and held up a finger.
Ready in 2,
she said to the microphone.
Oh, he said. Sorry, I thought Arthur was up here.
She shook her head.
He's over at Site B.
Mike felt his brows furrow.
He's monitoring a simulation from the other lab?
Simulation?
He looked past her to the screens. The ants carried out the images from Olaf's monitor a few moments ago.
You're doing a full run, even though we don't know what happened last time.
That's why we're doing it,
said Sasha. She turned back to the screens.
We need data.
He glanced around the room.
Wait a minute. Why are you up here?
Someone's got to monitor the system.
An icon on one of the monitors flashed, and she leaned toward the microphone.
Johnny has a solution. We are ready in 1.
Her eyes glanced down at the lab and the shimmering rings.
Why isn't Jamie...
The scurrying ants put the picture together in less than a second. Mike yanked open the control room door and dashed for the stairwell. He pushed past Anne in the hall, spilling her coffee, and ran for the big door. He swiped his card too fast. The reader didn't get it until the second pass.
The lock clicked and he yanked the door open. Olaf made 3 quick keystrokes.
Power's good.
No! Shouted Mike. Threads of static electricity lashed around the rings, whipping back and forth between each one. An acid hiss echoed across the main floor. The air inside the rings thrashed and boiled. And then it all grew still. Mike ran past the workstations and up onto the ramp.
The field has cohesion,
boomed Sasha's voice.
The door is open.
The third ring appeared. Jamie stepped up onto the ramp at Site B. Her hair hung around her face. Her clothes were rumpled. Mike could see Arthur behind her at one of the stations. The older man locked eyes with him, then looked away. Jamie stood 6 feet and a half a mile away from him.
Don't do this, said Mike.
She shook her head.
It'll be fine.
Olaf, he called out, not looking away from her. Shut it down. Now.
We know what we're doing,
he snapped.
Like you did with Tramp? Shut it down.
He heard Neil wheeze and Sasha gasped over the speakers. Jamie took a few steps down the pathway toward him. She was inside the first ring, inches from the threshold.
It's going to work, she said. There's nothing wrong with the code. There's nothing wrong with the tech. What happened to Bob was just a fluke.
You don't know that.
We do,
she said.
I do.
Jamie, he said, fighting the urge to glare at Arthur.
None of you know what happened. You don't.
It's going to be okay,
she said.
Really?
She took a deep breath and stepped through the door.